Good morning. Let's begin our service this morning by singing hymn number 185. Master and Lord, 'tis good to be here, guided by Thee to joy-crowned height, where we, man's perfect sonship, see safe and secure in radiant light. Hymn number 185. The scriptural this morning will be given by Betty from California.
1 Corinthians. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known.
We will have a moment of silent prayer and then follow with the Lord's Prayer and its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, which art in heaven. Our Father, Mother God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love over all and all. Let us sing hymn number 406. O love, our mother ever near, to thee we turn from doubt and fear. In perfect peace our thoughts abide, our hearts now in this truth confide. Man is the child of God. Hymn number 406.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Sunday morning service of the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. We are a worldwide congregation. We maintain a full and active website, plainfieldcs.com, and I encourage all of you to check that out. We conduct services every Sunday morning beginning at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion. And we have a testimony meeting every Wednesday evening at 8:15. You can listen to all of our services either on our website, on YouTube, or from your telephone through a teleconference service. Also on Sundays at 11 a.m., we have a Sunday school for children of all ages. And that class also has its own teleconference number. So if you don't live in the area, and you have a child who would like to attend a Christian Science Sunday school, please contact the church to find out how. And Florence has been busy lately. We have a new issue of Forum Highlights on our website. And everyone is welcome here. And that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. I'm going to read the daily prayer provided by Mary Baker Eddy in the Church Manual. It shall be the duty of every member of this church to pray each day, Thy kingdom come. Let the reign of divine truth, life, and love be established in me, and rule out of me all sin. And may Thy word enrich the affections of all mankind, and govern them. We will now have a reading of a testimony from the chapter entitled Fruitage in Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained from reading the Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given by Suzanne from Vermont.
A profitable study. It may help others to know that someone was really healed of severe illness through Christian Science. It is over 9 years since we first became interested in the science, and it would be hard to find a healthier person than I am now. I can go all day from morning till night upheld by the thought that they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I can truly say that I scarcely know what physical weariness is anymore. Before I came into science, the physician said that one lung was gone and that the other was affected with tuberculosis. So from their standpoint, there was little left for me to hope for. We had tried every remedy that they had suggested. I had gone to the mountains, but could not stay there on account of the altitude. And when they did not know what else to do, they said we would better go to England, that the ocean air would be beneficial. So we spent 3 months in the British Isles, and when I came back, I seemed much better. But this only lasted a short time. In little more than a month, I was worse than ever, and my mother was told that I had but a few weeks, or at most months, to live. At that time, a lady, a stranger to us, suggested that we try Christian Science. There was no prejudice against it, as we did not even know what it was. We knew of no scientists in the western town where we were living. And when we were told that we could send to Kansas City for absent treatment, we thought it was absurd. We were then told that many people had been healed through the reading of the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health. And to us, this seemed a little worse than the absent treatment. But as we had tried everything we had heard of up to that time, my mother sent for the book. It came in the middle of October, and we began to read it together. It seemed to me from the first that it was something I had always believed, but did not know how to express. It seemed such a natural thing. My improvement was very gradual, but I felt I was recovering. After the Christmas holidays, I started in at school and went the whole term without missing a day, something I had never done before. I finished my school course without missing a day. In fact, I have not spent a day in bed since that time. I feel absolutely certain that I have two sound, healthy lungs now. The hollows in my chest have filled out, and I breathe perfectly on both sides. Rarely have a cold to meet, and have not a sign of a cough. People sometimes say, "Oh, well, maybe you never had consumption." Well, I had all the symptoms, and they are every one gone through the reading of Science and Health. ELB, Chicago, Illinois.
The lesson for this morning may be found on page 20 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject, man. Golden text, Isaiah. Thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. The responsive reading is from Titus. The grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men,
teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world.
For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another.
But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared.
Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost,
which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior,
that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Fairly, we'll read from the Bible.
The Holy Bible. Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them, and God blessed them. Isaiah, hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord, look unto the rock whence ye are hewn. Deuteronomy. For the Lord your God is God of gods and Lord of lords, a great God and a mighty and a terrible, which regardeth not persons nor taketh reward. He does execute the judgment of the fatherless and widow, and loveth the stranger in giving him food and raiment. Love ye, therefore, the stranger. Leviticus. Ye shall do no unrighteousness in judgment. Thou shalt not respect the person of the poor, nor honor the person of the mighty. Acts. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a devout man and one that feared God with all his house. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him, and he said unto him, Thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa, and call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He called two of his household servants, and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. He sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry and would have eaten. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth. And there came a voice to him, Rise, Peter, kill and eat. But Peter said, Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. And the voice spake unto him again the second time, What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. While Peter thought on the vision, Spirit said unto him, Behold, three men seek thee. Then Peter went down to the men, then called he them in. And the morrow, after they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, Stand up. I myself also am a man. And he said unto them, Ye know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God hath shewed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore, for what intent ye have sent for me? And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, Cornelius, thy prayer is heard, and thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. Immediately therefore I sent to thee. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of person. But in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. 2 Chronicles. Wherefore now let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it,
For there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Job. Yea, surely God will not do wickedly, neither will the Almighty pervert judgment. Is it fit to say to a king, thou art wicked, and to princes, ye are ungodly? How much less to him that accepteth not the persons of princes, nor regardeth the rich more than the poor? For they all are the work of his hands. 1 Corinthians. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours, and ye are Christ, and Christ is God. 1 John. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Revelation. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him. For the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters.
I will now read correlative passages from our textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. The scriptures inform us that man is made in the image and likeness of God. Matter is not that likeness. The likeness of spirit cannot be so unlike spirit. Man is spiritual and perfect. And because he is spiritual and perfect, he must be so understood in Christian Science. Man is incapable of sin, sickness, and death. The real man cannot depart from holiness, nor can God, by whom man is evolved, engender the capacity or freedom to sin. A mortal sinner is not God's man. The admission to oneself that man is God's own likeness sets man free to master the infinite idea. The infinite principle is reflected by the infinite idea and spiritual individuality, but the material so-called senses have no cognizance of either principle or its idea. The human capacities are enlarged and perfected in proportion as humanity gains the true conception of man and God. Mortals have a very imperfect sense of the spiritual man and of the infinite range of his thought. To him belongs eternal life. Through spiritual sense, you can discern the heart of divinity and thus begin to comprehend in science the generic term man. In divine science, man is the true image of God. The divine nature was best expressed in Christ Jesus, who threw upon mortals the truer reflection of God and lifted their lives higher than their poor thought models would allow. Thoughts which presented man as fallen, sick, sinning, and dying. The Christ-like understanding of scientific being and divine healing includes a perfect principle and idea, perfect God and perfect man as the basis of thought and demonstration. We cannot fathom the nature and quality of God's creation by diving into the shallows of mortal belief. We must reverse our feeble flutterings, our efforts to find life and truth in matter, and rise above the testimony of the material senses, above the mortal to the immortal idea of God. These clearer, higher views inspire the godlike man to reach the absolute center and circumference of his being. At present, mortals progress slowly for fear of being thought ridiculous. They are slaves to fashion, pride, and sense. Sometime we shall learn how spirit, the great architect, has created men and women in science. We ought to worry the fleeting and false and to cherish nothing which hinders our highest selfhood. The longing to be better and holier, expressed in daily watchfulness and in striving to assimilate more of the divine character, will mold and fashion us anew until we awake in his likeness. We reach the science of Christianity through demonstration of the divine nature. But in this wicked world, goodness will be evil spoken of, and patience must bring experience. The sharp experiences of belief in the superstitious life of matter, as well as our disappointments and ceaseless woes, turn us like tired children to the arms of divine love. Then we begin to learn life in divine science. Without this process of weaning, canst thou by searching find out God? It is easier to desire truth than to rid oneself of error. Mortals may seek the understanding of Christian science, but they will not be able to glean from Christian science the facts of being without striving for them. This strife consists in the endeavor to forsake error of every kind and to possess no other consciousness but good. Material man is made up of involuntary and voluntary error, of a negative right and a positive wrong, the latter calling itself right. Man's spiritual individuality is never wrong. It is the likeness of man's maker. Matter cannot connect mortals with the true origin and fact of being in which all must end. It is only by acknowledging the supremacy of spirit, which annuls the claims of matter, that mortals can lay off mortality and find the indissoluble spiritual link which establishes man forever in the divine likeness, inseparable from his creator. Personality is not the individuality of man. A wicked man may have an attractive personality. A wicked mortal is not the idea of God. He is little else than the expression of error. To suppose that sin, lust, hatred, envy, hypocrisy, revenge have life abiding in them is a terrible mistake. Life and life's idea, truth and truth's idea, never make men sick, sinful, or mortal. Man is not the offspring of flesh, but of spirit, of life, not of matter. The notion that animal natures can possibly give force to character is too absurd for consideration. When we remember that through spiritual ascendancy, our Lord and Master healed the sick, raised the dead, and commanded even the winds and waves to obey him. Grace and truth are potent beyond all other means and methods. The lack of spiritual power in the limited demonstration of popular Christianity does not put to silence the labor of centuries. Spiritual, not corporeal, consciousness is needed. Man delivered from sin, disease, and death presents the true likeness or spiritual ideal. The spiritual capacity to apprehend thought and to heal by the truth power is won only as man is found not in self-righteousness, but reflecting the divine nature. As the reflection of yourself appears in the mirror, so you, being spiritual, are the reflection of God. The substance, life, intelligence, truth, and love, which constitute deity, are reflected by his creation. And when we subordinate the false testimony of the corporeal senses to the facts of science, we shall see this true likeness and reflection everywhere.
We will have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let us sing hymn number 416. Be true and list the voice within. Be true unto thy high ideal, thy perfect self that knows no sin, that self that is the only real. Hymn number 416.
Praise God, praise God.
Let's sing hymn number 14. Arise, arise and shine, on thee hath dawned the day. God is thy sun and Christ thy light, be thou a steadfast ray. Hymn number 14.
Thank you.
from the textbook of Christian Science, the scientific statement of being, and the correlative passage from 1 John 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material, he is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his work. Amen.